Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we come this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you've already been speaking to us, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us today. And, Lord, that you'll change our lives, Lord, that we won't be those, Lord, that have the same things time and time again. But, Lord, you're working and growing us, Lord, in every way we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I just again just commend to you tonight this course? All our leaders are expected to be there tonight, and I know they will. But just encourage everyone in the church family to come along and be a part of this. But we are called Grow Church for a reason. We're passionate about people growing in God. We're growing the kingdom of God, extending the kingdom of God, but we've got to grow as individuals. And I encourage you to be there tonight. Really, whatever I can do to get you to come, if I have to bribe you, I will. But come along tonight. You need to come along. If you can't afford $8, just come and talk to me. I can't think of anyone who probably couldn't, but if you can't, come and talk to me. If that's, don't let any excuse, any barrier to come. And can I invite our African brothers and sisters particularly to come along tonight? You're a part of our church family. This is for everyone in the family. If you're not in the habit of coming along because it's cold, it's dark, it's wet, it's scary, there's whatever it is, my kitchen rules, whatever your kitchen rules, what about ruling in life? What about ruling in the kingdom of God? What about ruling in your life? And so I just really want to see everyone there tonight. Please don't make an excuse of why you can't come. Be there and say, yeah, I really want to grow. I need to grow. This community needs me to grow. My family need me to grow. The people that I work with need me to grow because they need Jesus. They need the kingdom of God in their own lives. And I want to be one that overcomes through all sorts of circumstances and tragedies and difficulties and know what it is to go through hell, but not to be overcome by that and to live and to rule and reign. So can we have everyone there tonight? Whatever I have to do to appeal to you to come, I'm embarrassed myself by having to appeal to you, but please come. Come along tonight. Be serious in the kingdom of God. Be serious about growing. If for some reason you've got night shift or something tonight, and we are going to be repeating this each week, so 5:30 you'll have the previous week, and then 6:30 will start, that particular week's will start. So I understand some people have shifts. I'd encourage you to come along tonight and come again early next week just to refresh that stuff. Make sure it gets in there before then you get into it. I did have some DVDs for people that wanted to take it home and look at it and study it. I sold them all last week. We haven't even started yet. So there's people that are really hungry. I know some are going overseas and interstate and they're saying, we don't want to miss out. So they went. If anybody wants to get a copy of this series, which I know you will, please let me know because I can get it a lot cheaper than you can get it. By buying bulk from them. So, but praise God, let's get into the Word of God this morning. I want to talk about, again, we're talking about kingdom reign. I really want to talk about going through some things in life, going through circumstances in life and going through very difficult things. Many of us go through difficult things. In fact, if you don't go through anything difficult, it's okay, you will. We've all gone through difficult things, and some things can be to such an extent that if we allowed them, they could potentially destroy us, or they could cripple us or render us useless. And certainly that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to make you useless. He wants you so preoccupied with your own world and your own problems and the things that are overwhelming you that you're no good to the kingdom of God. He wants to take you out. He doesn't want you to be someone that can make a difference for eternity. He wants you to be someone that lives like everybody else, goes 9 to 5 through the grind, comes home, watches telly all night and does all those kind of things, that has problems and struggles and circumstances that overwhelm you and render you impotent in the kingdom of God so that you're no risk, you're no threat to him. He doesn't have to worry about you. Yeah, and that's what he wants for your life. He wants you to be overwhelmed in your circumstances. And certainly the devil will have a go and crack at us, but we don't want to let him rule in our lives. We're going to let the Lord Christ rule in our life, and we're going to reign in our situations and circumstances. But there are times in our life where God does bring his dealings into our own hearts and lives. Sometimes we do need a supernatural wake-up call, because we're just too cozy, too confident in our own self and our own ways. And sometimes we do need a little wake up, a little shake up, something to happen in our lives. And we know our theme for this year, 1 Psalm 145:13, the key scripture, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generation. The Lord is faithful to all his promises. I just love saying that. The Lord is faithful to all his promises. All of them. Not for everyone else except for me, but for all of them, and loving toward all he has made. That includes you. And all his promises are there for you. And we're talking about, okay, well, I want to translate that into walking with that in my own heart, in my own life, in the reality of every day that I live. I want to look at Hebrews 12 this morning. We're going to look at this passage, Hebrews 12. And we're going to read down from verse 18. It'll come up on the screen from verse 18. But maybe I'll just start from verse 14. So if you do have a Bible, or if you have an iPod and you're not on Facebook or iPad or something and you're actually looking up the scripture, that's okay. I'll read from verse 14. Verse 18 will come up from there, but I think it's good to start with a little bit of background here as well. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. And verse 18, we'll pick up now here. Now this, particularly verse 28 is the verse I'm really talking on this morning, but let's read this passage. Verse 18, you've not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and a storm, to a trumpet blast, or such a voice speaking the words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus Christ, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him that speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Amen. It's a wonderful passage of scripture as we look at that. As I said, I really want to focus on verse 28. But just have a little bit, it's interesting though, I wanted to read those first four verses before we really get on to 18 downwards. Because remember we talked about last week, we talked about the Lord's Prayer, about his telling how to pray with authority, how to make declarations and declare the kingdom of God in your situation. Talked about how to bind and how to loose in your circumstance, in your situation, in your life. If you weren't here and you've got no idea what I'm talking about, just go online and listen to that message and learn what it is to pray in the way that Christ intended us, not parroting our Father who art in heaven, like some people say that, like they're saying in their club theme song or something. That is a powerful way to pray. It's a declaration, that imperative right at the very beginning before we get into the petitions. Anyway, and I'll speech all that again. Have a listen to that if you missed it last week, because you may be not praying with the power and authority that Christ intended you to pray with. So have a listen to that if you missed that last week. But the background, as I mentioned there, when Jesus in the middle of all that prayer, he says, Lord, to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, or those that have sinned against us. Lord, in the same way I forgive them, you treat me. You treat me like I treat other people. He said, I want you to pray that. And as I said, many of us are too scared to pray like that, because we don't forgive people when we know that we should, that we shouldn't hold those things. But even it's interesting, this whole passage in verse 28, which is the climax of it, about receiving a kingdom, which what we're talking about, which cannot be shaken. It starts off about relationship. It talks about make every effort to live at peace with all men. depends upon you guys. As the other scripture also says, it says, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with all men. And so it's up to you. You don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse. I don't have an excuse. None of us have an excuse. We make every effort to live in peace. And without holiness, one will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses. No one misses the grace of God. And that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble. It talks about relationship. It's so important. If you want to have authority in your life, get your relationships right. If you're harboring resentments or unforgiveness or bitterness in your life, forget about having authority in your life. Forget about ruling because you haven't got past the basics. You haven't done the very beginning thing yet. You know, Jesus told the stories about, I still remember the one of the guy who was owed 50,000, I think it was, denarius, some huge amount of money, and couldn't pay that off. And the guy says, it's okay. I'm not going to throw you in prison. I'm going to forgive you this massive debt of 50,000. And there's some guy who owes him 10 bucks and he wants to throw that guy in prison. And he's been forgiven for maybe 3 million bucks. And for $20, he won't forgive somebody. Jesus says, what are you doing? And Lord, as I forgive others, Lord, let you forgive me. That's a great way to be able to pray. And that's how Jesus told us he wants us to pray. So right relationship is really important as we're talking these things. Guard your heart in your relationships. Don't harbour things against people. Don't harbour resentments or attitudes or unforgiveness, because that'll cut your own authority from under you before you even start. But there's some interesting contrasts just before we get into verse 28, which I really want to talk about. I'll talk about 27 as well, 27 and 28. But some interesting contrasts in this. It talks about a mountain of fire. This mountain where the fire of God, the presence of God was there. And poor little Moses has to go up the top there and get these, in Mount Sinai, get these Ten Commandments, and pretty scary thing. He talks about a mountain of fire, but then it contrasts that with God himself, who is a consuming fire. It talks about this doom and gloom and storm. But then it talks about a joyful assembly. And that's what we're supposed to live in the joyful assembly. That's what our life is, not the doom and the gloom and the storm. It talks about people that are afraid to listen. Well, we don't want to hear what God's going to say. We don't want to, you know, we don't know what he's going to say, so they don't listen. It contrasts that attitude whether he says, don't refuse him who speaks. Don't refuse. They refused, but he's saying, no, don't you refuse. Just listen. Talks about people that are in fear and terrified, really scared. But then it contrasts that with a sense of awe and reverence to our God, who is a holy and a mighty and a just and loving God. Talks about Mount Sinai, as opposed where the law was given, as opposed to Sinai, which represents the newness, the life, the old covenant of law against the new covenant that is found in the blood of Jesus Christ, which we remember when we take communion together. Talks about the blood of Abel, who was murdered, and crying out, how his blood is crying out for justice. But it contrasts that with the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the blood that justifies us for the sin that we've done and for those things. And so it makes these wonderful contrasts throughout there. And there's a lot in this passage that we could look at, but I just want to focus on a couple of things, and particularly looking at when we are going through storms and things of our life. Every one of us goes through stuff. And the thing is, sometimes when it's us going through it, we feel like, well, you don't know what I'm going through, and everyone else seems to be going through nothing, and it all seems to be you, and woe is me. And sometimes we can think like that. We look at other people and think, well, gee whiz, they don't go through anything. Wish I was like them, that I never go through anything. There's nobody that doesn't go through stuff. There's no one who doesn't go through a storm and challenges and face some things that can be potentially devastating and very destructive. We go through stuff, every one of us. Difference is whether we let it overwhelm us and whether we let that thing destroy us or not. And we've all gone through things. I've gone through some things that I can't even share with you that have been pretty devastating along the way. And I'm sure every one of you could testify of things, pretty horrific things that have happened to you or around you in different situations and circumstances. But we want to learn in the reality of life what it is to rule in life and to reign in the midst of all those things. You're going to learn so many wonderful things tonight when you start to do this and when you faithfully finish this off and get it all. You're going to learn so much. But God wants to instill so much into our heart. But it talks about this darkness, gloom and storm. And I tell you what, there's Christians, unfortunately, that's a good description of their life. My life is darkness and its gloom and its storms. And they live their life in that. And their demeanor tells the world that they're like that. And therefore their witness is very much compromised, because when they're in the midst of it, they're no different to anybody else. The reaction's just the same as someone in the world. Their responses, their strategies, everything they do is the same. And God wants us not to be like that. There's something different about us. It's got to be real, this Christian faith. It's got to actually translate into everyday situations. And even things that come way out of left field, that just, where did that come from? And whether it was from the devil, or whether it's God actually dealing with something in us, whatever the cause of the thing is, or our own stupidity, which we can do some stupid things too, that we're able to not only just stand in it, but to conquer and to overwhelmingly conquer in those things. Now, it's interesting when you're looking at some of the words here. It says in Hebrews 12:27, it talks about shaking. This whole thing, it talks about a shaking. It says the Lord will shake the earth once more, and that's really coming from Haggai 2. In verse 6, it talks about shaking in and shaking in the nations, and those then will come unto the Lord, a shaking. And Paul quotes a number of verses actually in here, little snippets from the Old Testament as he goes through this. But it talks about a shaking that will come. And Hebrews 12:27, it says, the words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. So it talks about a shaking that comes. And it's interesting because the word shaken, now the Greek language is far more better than our language in terms of its ability to communicate. And there's different emphases and different inflections and things that come through. And this particular, in this section here in verse 27 and that verse there, that sense of that word there, when it talks about shaking, the word there is, it's motion that's caused by waves, and it's caused by storms and winds in our life. And certainly we go through that. There's things that are like storms that come upon our life. Even it seems like a bright sunny day, and the next minute there's a tornado whipping through from somewhere. Unexpected. Looked like it was a nice day. Looked like things can come out of nowhere. And it talks about some shaking and some things that will happen to us in our lives. And as I said, some things is the devil trying to bring you down. If he can make you like everyone else, if he can make you a normal person, he's won. Don't even have to be a bad person. Don't even have to be a backslider. You just have to live like a normal person. He's already won. He's not threatened by normal people. He's threatened by people who grab hold of the things of the Spirit of God and know what it is to stand in the authority they have in Jesus Christ, what it is to take territory, to conquer, to extend the kingdom of God. He's really frightened of those people. But normal people, doesn't really worry about them, not concerned with them. Sometimes there is something that will come, there will be a shaking that will come into our life. And the shaking that comes is actually comes in for a reason. See, quite often when we're going through something, we're always saying, Lord, take it away. Lord, stop it. Whatever it is. And sometimes in the process of that, whatever the source of it, there is actually a shaking that is going on, something happening in it. Because it says that the words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaking. And it's actually to bring a change. See, what we sometimes don't understand is that when you go through things in life, it's God is actually in there. Whether the devil's started it, whether you started it in your own silliness, and I've done some silly things, we've all done stupid things, and well, why do we do that? Why do we say that? We've all done stupid things, and sometimes it's the devil trying to get us. Sometimes it's the discipline of God. If you read earlier on in Hebrews 12, he says, I discipline you because I'm your father. A father will discipline his sons. He doesn't let them run rampant, doesn't let them run riot, but he'll get in there and he'll give them a nice little, every now and again, just to put them on the right path. And God will do that. It says that. You read the earlier part of Hebrews 12, he says he disciplines us as sons because he loves us. Not in our anger, not to punish us, not to hurt us, but to put us on the right path. And sometimes God will do that. And sometimes we are going through a shaking, and I really am not focusing so much on this verse. I want to get to verse 28. But God in the middle of that is actually wanting to bring a change in your life. And that's the first thing we need to ask ourselves. Lord, I'm going through this at the moment. Lord, and it doesn't matter how it was it you? Was it someone else? Was it the devil? Was it God? What is it? But in the middle of this shaking, this storm, this thing, well, what is it that you're doing in me? If Because God will want you to grow. He wants you to grow. And so there's an outcome that God is looking for in your life when you're going through something. And it's not to say, I was lost, but now I was found. I was sick, but now I'm well. I was sad, but now I'm happy. God's not interested in restoring the status quo. He's not interested. If you're going somewhere, he's not interested in putting you back. It's like if you have insurance, you know, say you got a house and your house burns down. And what's your house worth? I don't know, the bricks and mortar. Maybe it's $200,000 for the bricks and mortar, say. I don't know. And so if your house burns down, the insurance company, they'll go to you and they'll go, oh, you poor thing, your house burned down. Here's $200,000. And you'll be back to where you were. It might be a little bit newer, some of the stuff, but you're back to where you were. God doesn't do that to us. If our house burns down, God says, here's a check for $1 million. Here's $1 million. He's not interested in just putting you back to where you were. He's interested in you growing. He's interested in you advancing. He's interested in you going forward in your situation. And so I'm not looking, if I go through something, not going back to be where I was and think, oh, thank you, God, I'm back to where I was. I want $1 million. I don't just want the restoration of what I think I lost or where I was, or I was here, but then I was there, but now I'm back. No, I'm now here because of what God has taken me through and he's walked me through. He wants to bring a change. And sometimes when you look at, God is just shaking something in our lives. And we're so worried about, oh no, God, you've forsaken me, or the devil's having a field day, or woe is me, and all this stuff, that we're not even looking for. What is God shaking off my life that's hindering me in the kingdom? What is that thing? Because there are things that will creep into every heart and every life, and none of us are exempt from that. And God will want to get rid of those things, will shake those things. Maybe it's just the way that you deal with people. Maybe it's your trust of people. Maybe your trust in God, whatever it is. Maybe there's a shaking in that. And sometimes we need to say, God, what are you shaking off me in this process? Lord, what are you dealing with me? Because your aim is not to bring me back to where I was, but Lord, you're going to grow me and build me through this situation. So Lord, what are you removing? That's what I would be asking. If you're going through something, Lord, what is it you're dealing with me? Don't I really trust you when I say that I trust you, when I pray? Lord, am I really just doing it but not really praying in faith? Lord, what is it, Lord, that you're showing me? What is it you're dealing with me in my life? What are you shaking in my life? We all know the story in Luke 8 about where they're all in the water and in the boat, not in the water yet, worried about getting in the water. They're in the boat and crossing over the other side, and Jesus is asleep. A storm comes, big storm, waves, howling waves and storms. Jesus not fussed at all, he's asleep. And everybody starts panicking and they run out and they go, Jesus, we're going to drown. Big panic. Jesus goes, woo. He's not worried. He's not afraid. He knows, Jesus knows who he is. The problem is the disciples don't know who they are. And Jesus says to them, he goes, where is your faith? You don't know where you are. You're in the middle of a storm and all you're worried about is drowning. And Jesus is, you know, guys, storm, stop. Okay, guys, got to learn a lesson. His question was, and where is your faith? Not where is your trust, don't you trust me, but where is your faith? Where is the sense that you have authority in this situation yourself? It doesn't tell us, it says that, what it says there. But in my mind, I speculate a little bit and I begin to wonder if Jesus was thinking, guys, why didn't you do that? Where's your faith? You could have done that. That's what I'm asleep for. I don't need to do it. You could have done it. You had the authority, but you just didn't have the faith to put that authority into motion. So he says, and where's your faith, guys? What's your problem? Why aren't you doing that? Now, sometimes we get so caught up in our emotions that all the best we can do is just cry out help. And God is faithful and he's gracious and he will respond to that. Because he responded to them. They're pretty pathetic, really, in terms of they got Jesus right there with them and they didn't. I mean, I think I would have felt a little bit more comfortable knowing that Jesus is there. Because if I'm going down, he's going down, and I know he's not going anywhere. I know he's not going down. So in a way, their response was pretty weak in that sense. They knew who Jesus was. They were with Jesus. They walked, they saw everything, the miracles, everything. And yet, right at that time, sometimes our emotions can overwhelm us. And God's gracious. He doesn't just let us sink. He never lets you sink. If you cry out with sincerity, God will hear the cry of your heart because he loves us. But the point is moving on beyond that, beyond the rebuke of the disciples when Jesus says, where's your faith, guys? Where's your faith to actually being there in the boat, to be there in the storm, and whatever it is, okay, that we're not going to be one that is defeated or overwhelmed in that. And that's what we're really talking about as we're looking at this whole series together. But have faith to stand in your authority is what Jesus was really saying to them. Guys, have faith. Stand in the authority that I've given you. You don't have to worry for someone else's authority. You stand in your authority in the situation that you're in. Now, I don't have a lot of time this morning, so we have to go pretty quickly to get on to verse 28. But verse 28 says this: therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. And so it says we're receiving a kingdom. We say, well, hang on a minute. Well, haven't we already said that the kingdom of God is within us? We've received Christ and therefore the kingdom's within us. And I have the kingdom of God. I have Christ within me, although a lot of Christians don't even understand that. The reality of that just doesn't drop in. And something like this can sometimes help us make that connection, to drop that in to our heart and to our life, that the kingdom of God is within us. The king is within us. Whether the king is, his kingdom is. And we have his authority at work in our lives, and to understand the outworking of that. But what's it saying? We're receiving a kingdom. Is this talking about when I die, that when I'm dead, that I'm actually going to be into the eternal kingdom? And that can't be shaken. And we know nothing can mess with God. Nothing can mess with the kingdom of God. Nothing can stand against God and his might and his power and authority who created all things, who's above all things. And nothing can mess with that. So is that what it's talking about? It's not talking about me becoming a Christian, is it? No, it's not. Is it talking about eternity? That nothing can mess with that. That's unshakable. Well, what's it talking about? No, it is actually talking about my life here, where there will be some storms at times and there will be some winds and things that will come against me. The word there where it says that we are receiving a kingdom, what does the word receiving mean? It means, the word literally means it's an office to be discharged. It's a high job description, if you like, an office to be discharged. You're getting a job to be discharged. You're given an office. If someone becomes president or prime minister, they have an office. They come into, they receive the office of prime minister or receive the office of president. They receive that office for a purpose, and that is to rule and to reign, what are better words, but to lead at least a community, a country, a nation in some way. They receive a high office. Well, this scripture says, but since you are receiving a high office, I am receiving a high office. We're talking about kingdom reign. And the scripture talks about us ruling and reigning as kings. It says, since you're receiving an office, you're coming into this understanding and the knowledge of what it is to rule and to reign as a king in your life and within your circumstances. It says, since you're receiving that. So it's talking about here now, not talking about eternity, not talking about receiving Christ, but I'm beginning to understand, apprehend, I'm receiving something. I've got an office given to me. And we have an office that we need to stand in. If you have a prime minister or a president or whatever the country leader is who just sits at home all day, whatever they do, doing nothing, watching whatever people do who do nothing do. Some of you might know what that is, I'm not sure. But they just do nothing. Just stay at home all the time, or they just live like a normal person. What if the Prime Minister never went to Parliament, never went to a cabinet meeting, never led anything like that, but just decided to go back and work in a fish and chip shop and do the normal job and da-da-da and do all of that and never rose to the office that they had? Now, if you work in a fish and chip shop, no worries, I like fish and chips, that's good. But that's not what they're called to do. They've got an office given upon them. They're given a duty, a huge high-level responsibility to discharge. And that's what we have. We are receiving that, an office to be discharged. And that's what's upon our life. That's why we can't be like a normal person. You can't be running around saying, oh, I've got to watch my show tonight. Oh, I can't do that. You know, I can't miss The Voice. Oh, I can't miss that one. I can't do that. No. You could if you didn't have that office upon your life. But you are a different person. You're in the kingdom of God. There's an office that's upon your life. You can't live like a normal person because you're not. And if you think you're a normal person, stop listening to the lies of the devil. You're not normal in any way. You're not going to hell for a start. And you're not the devil's plaything for a start. You're not a normal person in any way. But some of us think we are. We're not normal in that sense because we have received this office that needs to be discharged in the weeks and months ahead. We'll talk about how we do that, how we discharge that duty, but we're receiving that. So it's something that's upon our life. Since we are receiving a kingdom, remember a kingdom. Now, God isn't going to sit you in the little corner and say, here's your nice little kingdom there. I'm going to put a nice little chair there. You can call it a throne. And I want you to rule here. I'm the king of my family. Everyone bow before me, King Father. And, you know, I'm the king here, or I'm the king of this, or I'm the king of that. It's not about that. It's about that mentality, that mindset of dominion and authority, as we talked about before. It's a kingdom authority that God is. So we've received that office of kingdom authority, and it's upon our life. The problem is most of us don't know that, or if we do, we don't live like it. And so this is really, again, what we're talking about. You've received that, though. I want you to know you've received that. You have that high office upon it. And so you can't be just mucking around like everyone else, wasting your life like everyone else, because that's not who you are. And that's not who God has made you to be. You might have to work like everyone else, because like everyone else, you got to eat. Good, healthy thing to do. You need to do that. But what motivates you and what you live for is not what everyone else lives for. You're not caught up in the things of the world. And you have the kingdom. Every time you see people, you see souls that need Christ. Not someone who's in your way, who's holding you up to get there for the TV show. You see people differently. You think about different. You pray differently. Not as a beggar, but you're praying as the prince, as with that authority, the princely, kingly authority of Jesus Christ upon your heart and upon your life. And so that's how you live and how you pray. And so we're receiving a kingdom authority, and it says that authority cannot be shaken. What does that mean? Well, the sense of the word there, slightly little different from the storm aspect of things, the sense here of the word there is the sense is it cannot be overthrown. In other words, the authority that has been put within your life can't be taken away. The devil cannot take that away. See, some of us, we go through things and we think that is proof, because I'm going through it, we think it's proof that I don't have any authority. We think it's proof that I'm a hopeless, lousy, useless, pathetic, loser, sinner, and I'm nothing, and I'm worthless, and God doesn't love me, and all the rubbish that the devil says to us. And we're silly enough sometimes to believe that. But it says here that authority that you're given, in that office that you have, it cannot be shaken, it cannot be removed, it cannot be overthrown. Nothing can actually usurp that. There's no authority that can come stronger than that. And so we need to understand that, because so many times we live like that in our lives. We see it as being overthrown. Oh no, the big, hairy, mean devil. He's overthrown that. And now here I am as this defeated little weakling. Man, if the devil makes us think that way, he's just laughing all the way to hell. And will hopefully want to drag us with him, but he can't. He can't do that. We need to have a revelation in our spirit that despite the storms I go through, they're not actually a sign necessarily that the devil's winning. What's the sign of whether you're winning or not is how you stand through that trial and how you overcome through that trial. And you're not defeated. If you're going through stuff in your life, you're going through struggles right now, it's not a sign that you're nothing or you're hopeless or the devil's won or winning in your life. Not at all. In the midst of what you're going through, God will say, well, I'm going to shake a few things while I'm here, guys. I'm going to shake some of that stuff out because I want you to change. I want you to grow in the midst of what you're going through. But don't think that. Trials are not a sign that you've lost your authority. It's not a sign that you're weak. Remember, the authority that you have in Christ cannot be touched. The devil cannot touch that. In fact, who we are really in Christ, the devil cannot touch that. It doesn't matter whether it's in your body, it's within relationships, whatever it is that you're facing or struggling with, the bottom line is the devil can't really touch you, who you really are. He cannot touch that. He cannot hurt that. He cannot harm that in any way. And he might have his little goes and whatever, and some of them might be big goes, but he can't touch who you are. He can't touch that. And if we begin to understand that, we begin to realize, and I'm not someone who's going to get pushed around by this devil character. Yet there's going to be storms. But I'm not going to be someone who's living in gloom in the midst of that. But I'm going to learn what it is to stand and proclaim. And I'm saying these things to you. Sometimes people think that pastors have these little blessed little lives where God puts his hand of protection upon them and then nothing ever happens to them and everything is really good and rosy and it's all great for them and it's right for them because they don't live in the real world and nothing ever happens to them. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, we probably go through more than what you might go through. I'm not saying that as a boast. We all go through some pretty heavy stuff. But if the devil's going to try to get anyone, who's he going to get? Scatter the sheep, a shepherd and you scatter the sheep. So we go through stuff. I'm not talking stuff here theory. I'm talking about things I've gone through in my own life. And some of the big things I can't even share with you that we've faced in our lives and in my life and things. I can't do that. I'm not at liberty to say some things. But the bottom line is that we come through, again, as I said, not getting our 200,000 for our two, come through with $1 million. And if you're going through something right now, I want you to have that attitude. Say, well, Lord, maybe there's something in me that you're shaking out. Maybe I say I trust you, but Lord, I really don't. I don't believe you. I want to trust you. I want to have faith. Well, maybe God's shaking that there. Maybe there's some attitudes. Maybe you're really good at some things, but you just stomp all over people and you hurt people. Maybe God wants to deal with something in your life. Maybe you're not caring. Maybe you're not compassionate. Maybe you're ignorant. Maybe whatever it is. Whatever the thing is in our own life, we know what it is. Maybe there's areas of compromise or whatever it is. So, Lord, in the midst of this, whether it was I created the storm, whether the devil created the storm, or, Lord, whether you're disciplining me as a son, Lord, shake it out. Just let it go, Lord. Removing of the things that are temporary, things of the earth, things that don't really matter. Lord, if I'm more interested in my television, if I'm more interested in my sports, if I'm more interested in anything else, so that really gets my juices going, gets me riled up and passionate and excited, but things of God are ho-hum, here I go again. Lord, shake that out of me. Shake that off my life. Lord, if the thought of coming in a night time is too big a deal, Lord, shake that out of me, Lord. And Lord, in the midst of all of that, but Lord, I'm actually going to grow and I'm not going to be beaten in this situation. And have that heart that when you're going through stuff, I'm not looking to get back to where I was. I don't want to even be where I was. Oh, I want to be far better and grow so much more in the circumstances that I have. And so I want us to know that you have an office to be discharged. This kingdom reign, he reigns supreme. But the kingdom authority is invested within us. And what you have cannot be shaken. Don't be hoodwinked in that. Don't think I cannot function because I'm not well. I'm going through a hard time. When I got this, I will serve and then I will begin to share and I begin to bring people and I begin to impart to them. When I'm feeling better, I'll do that. When I'm having a better day, I'll do that. When I've got more money, I'll do that. When my relationships are better, I'll do that. But don't let anything stop you from being who you are and walking in the authority that you have. We're all going to go through storms. And what are you going to do? Well, you're not going to drown, I can tell you that. I promise you that you won't drown unless you go and hold your own head underwater and count to 150,000, then you're in trouble. But it's not going to happen. Jesus is with you. He is with you. You're not going to drown. But to learn to say, no, I'm not going to let this thing defeat me. I'm not going to let it destroy me. And if you begin to pray like I taught you about last week, begin to pray and declare those things and to hold on to that and to bring the kingdom of God in your circumstance and your situation, but begin to rule with him. And the sense of the word kingdom there too is actually the sense again, because I said the words there, they have more than one sense to them. It's about coming into partnership with his kingdom. That's what it's about. And I'm not going to talk about another time about being joint heirs with Jesus Christ, what that means, but to come into partnership with him in those things. And so my encouragement to you this morning is, if you're going through a storm, if you're going through things, and if you're not going through things, you're going to go through some things. It's not a prophecy, it's a fact that you're alive, you live in a sinful world and we face stuff. But when you're in the middle of those things, it's not a sign that you've lost your authority. The devil is not winning. So you begin to stand and begin to fight in that situation. You're going to say, no, I'm standing on the promises of God. Because all the promises of God are for me, not for everyone else but me. The healing that I need, the miracle that I need, the breakthrough for me, and to begin to stand in that. So don't let hardships overcome you. Have the mindset, no, I'm in a high office. And if the Prime Minister's having a bad day, Prime Minister doesn't have the option of just, oh, look, I'm going to sleep in for the next 3 days, take a week off. That Prime Minister won't last long if they did that. A President of the United States, if they did such a thing, they've just got to keep pushing through because they've got a high office and they're going to stand in that, in the authority. But that's a human authority given to them. We have a spiritual authority given to us in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit within us, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's amazing. He hasn't put us, he hasn't elected us and said, okay, I'm now giving you this high authority and this position and not giving us the means to do it. He's given us the Holy Spirit within our life. So don't let hardship prevent you. I just want to quickly read two little scriptures just to close this morning. Well, time is gone today. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, resist him, him being the devil, like a roaring lion. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know, throughout the family, believers through the whole world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. People are going through stuff. People go through stuff. But to learn what it is to know, well, okay, I'm going through something. Doesn't mean God doesn't love me. Doesn't mean the devil's winning. Maybe there's a shaking. Maybe there's some things in my life that God is going to remove in this process. But this thing's not going to get me, and it's not going to beat me. It's not going to defeat me. And I'm going to learn to pray and pray in power and pray in authority. But I'm going to resist the devil because that's unshakable. The authority that I have can't be overthrown. He can't overthrow that. We can turn it off, or we can forget about it, that we don't have it, or else we can live in that. And I encourage us to do that. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. And Jesus said to them about, guys, where's your faith? You're not going to drown. Jesus is there casting, telling the storm to be quiet. He's saying, guys, what are you doing? I'm having a nice sleep. Your storm, you do something about it. You command the waves. Feeding of the 5,000. Jesus, they don't have any food. Jesus says, well, feed them. What are you going to do about it? Oh, okay. Well, what have you got? Oh, we're just a couple of loaves and some fish and not really much of stuff here. And what? We'll feed them with what you got. Because we've got enough. We've got enough in the situation. 2 Timothy 4:18, last promise. It says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. You have such an authority. Look, I know there's people going through stuff here. And it's not easy. When you're going through stuff, it's real and it affects us. But don't let it cripple your emotions. Don't let it dominate your thinking. Because if the devil can get you thinking about your problem and your emotions and everything is so overwhelmed by it, what sort of a threat are you? You're not a threat to him. And so when you go through things, yeah, maybe there's something that needs to be shaken out. Maybe I've been slack in some way. Maybe there's sin. Maybe there's an attitude. Maybe whatever. I don't know what it is. But God will show you that if you ask him, Lord, well, what are you shaking out of me in this situation? Maybe it's just a full-on attack and you just need to stand strong and faith and to rebuke the waves and tell them to go. But know that you have an authority. You have a position and God wants you to walk within that. You have an office, a high office with kingdom authority, and you can't live your life like everyone else. You can't just go and do what everyone else does because that's not you. God's made you something very powerful, very potent. So don't let the devil mess with you. Don't let him deceive you. Don't let him hoodwink you on who you are. Let's stand and pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you as we stand here, Lord. Everyone here that calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone here that's given their life to Christ, Father, I just thank you for each one. And Father, for those who know you, that are going through storms, Father, I pray, Lord, there be a revelation, Lord, because this needs revelation. It's not information, it's revelation. And Father, I pray there'll be a revelation in the heart of men and women and young people this day, Lord. Something will begin to change within their hearts and their lives. They'll begin to say, Lord, well, Lord, maybe you're shaking something off. Lord, if I need to let it go, Lord, I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to cling to something that you're shaking. Lord, I'm just going to shake that off, Lord. I'm just going to let it go, Lord. Anything that's going to hinder me in the kingdom, Lord, anything, Lord. But Lord, as I go through this situation, Lord, I'm not looking you to restore. Lord, I want more than that, Lord. I want to grow through this, Lord, because you're forming me, Lord. You're shaping me. You're growing me, Lord. And I pray, Lord, there'll be a revelation of that office that we are receiving, the office of calling, Lord, to reign and to rule, Lord, in our own life and in our own situation. But Lord, then to be able to begin to bring that dominion, Lord, to pray for others, Lord, to begin to touch their lives and see people set free and come to know the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Lord, that you stir our hearts. Father, we begin to see, Lord, that this is real, Lord. It's not just about when we come to you and it's not just about when we die. Lord, this is how we live in the reality of life, Lord, because we go through stuff. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us through that, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we don't despair, that we're not downcast, we're not discouraged, Lord. Because, Lord, we know, Lord, that we reign and rule with Jesus Christ. So we know how to pray. We know how to bring the kingdom of God, Lord. We know how to bind and to loose in our situation, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we have that authority that cannot be shaken, that cannot be taken away. Lord, that the devil cannot win over our situation. He cannot have the victory in our life. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you are the victorious King, Lord. You've won the victory. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, stir every heart today. Father, there's anybody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, they've never come and said, I need Jesus in my life. Lord, the doom and the gloom can overwhelm them, Father. And, Lord, because there's no real hope for them, Father. I pray, Lord, that you touch them. Lord, for those that are in the kingdom, not of your kingdom, Lord, not your eternal kingdom, but the kingdom of darkness. Father, who never said, Jesus, I need to receive you. Lord, I pray, Lord, give them the courage this day to say, I need Jesus in my life. I need that kingdom authority. I need to be commissioned in that way. I need to receive that office, that authority in my own life, so I'm not going to be overwhelmed and I'm not going to be overcome. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this day, Father, they will come and give their life to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We're just going to worship the Lord this morning. And